Welcome to Thrivin' at the Beach podcast. I'm Peggy Masterson, and I'm delighted to be your host. I am the director of the Partnership Grand Strand Foundation, and in case you haven't heard about us, we are the nonprofit foundation that is an extension of the Myrtle Beach Area Chamber of Commerce. Partnership Grand Strand was created by local businesses to serve local businesses, and we serve everyone across all 14 communities that we often and fondly call the Grand Strand. Our work puts us in a unique situation where we get the opportunity to collaborate and support many of the organizations that are busy building a better tomorrow in our area. This gives us a wonderful opportunity to collect the details surrounding these growth initiatives and then share them with you. That's really why we created this podcast. There's so much amazing work, we just had to find a way to get it out to you. I could not be more excited to be able to facilitate a way for our guests to tell you their stories, to share the initiatives that they're working on, and give you a peek under the tent on what's coming to our community. I hope you'll catch this wave of momentum and then share it with others. So let's dive right in. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the newest edition of Thrivin' at the Beach, where we give you an opportunity to kind of meet some of the people that are working hard behind the scenes to fuel our long-term growth and prosperity. Today, we're going to talk about education. We're super excited to have Dr. Marilyn Foer here with us today, who is the current president of Horry Georgetown Technical College. Dr. Foer started her career as a faculty staff member. She was focused on teaching economics, government, and fundamentals of math. After that, she went on to be department chair, on to dean, associate VP, VP of academics and student affairs, senior vice president, and then was appointed president in 2017 and has been in that role ever since. She's originally from Ohio, but spent some time at Fairmount State, where she graduated with her undergraduate degree in West Virginia. She has two master's degrees from the University of South Carolina, one in economics and one in education. She also has an honorary doctorate from our local Coastal Carolina University for her public service. Thank you so much, Dr. Foer, for being here today.
Thank you. It's a real honor and privilege to be with you.
So, obviously, Dr. Foer, you have not only accomplished a great deal from an academic perspective, but you're doing great things here in the Horry County area. And I wanted to just kind of hear from you a little bit about how did a young lady from Toledo, Ohio, make the commitment and accomplish the things that you have accomplished across the course of your career?
Well, it's been a humbling but exciting path to where I am today. Came with from a small family and relatively low income. Father was a brick mason, and we went wherever the jobs were. So I lived in multitude of states. Lived in Colorado, Kansas, West Virginia, Oklahoma, Ohio, and I went to school and got an anonymous scholarship to go to college. I really had no plans. I was aimless and received I received a scholarship and never knew and will never know who gave me that scholarship, but somebody saw something worthwhile in me, and I went off to Fairmont State College in Fairmont, West Virginia. And I guess a lot of people have heard me say this. I wanted to major in mathematics because it's been a love of mine, but I majored in sororities and fraternities. And then was fortunate that some of the sorority sisters came to South Carolina working and waiting tables, and they called me and asked me if I had a job, and I said I did not. So I landed here in the Myrtle Beach and Georgetown area and worked at Chop East School in Georgetown County for 3 years, and then landed a position with ORE Georgetown Tech when it was a education center, and taught developmental studies mathematics at that time, and earned my degrees. I found a passion because I found that somebody believed in me. So my pathway has been to do that in return with everybody that I can, and to broaden that not only with students but with the whole community. And my heart and love is with the college and helping us to move ahead in the community as best I can with the college. Got a great college team to work with.
Mm-hmm. And I see here, as I'm reading your bio, that after undergrad, you went on to the University of South Carolina and received two master's degrees.
Yes.
Shifted the focus from math to education and economics.
Yes.
How did you happen to make those decisions to pursue your master's there?
I think that they found that I was successful in teaching the fundamentals of math, so they asked me to teach economics, and I fell in love with that. And so that's fell in love with the art of teaching, frankly. And at that time, I was in my mid-20s, and decided I needed to go to graduate school and be a serious student. So that's when I went on to the University of South Carolina, and I was successful in two master's programs there, and then my doctorate from the University of South Carolina. Done a lot of work with Coastal, or they've done a lot of work with me. We have great partnership. I think we stand out in the state of South Carolina in terms of what we do in partnership. And I was honored with an honorary degree a few years ago, and just a highlight for me to be recognized.
What a terrific, as you put it, a terrific way to be recognized. To have a educational institution give you an honorary doctorate it says a lot about the partnership. I think we're fortunate to be able to have yourself as the lead for ORE Georgetown and Coastal to be working so close together.
Well, we want students to feel that they can go all the way to the top with their careers here and be at home here and stay here. We have a goal between ORE Georgetown Tech and Coastal that we're going to provide a pathway if any student wants to go on and receive a baccalaureate degree or master's, or even as Coastal continues to offer doctoral degrees, that the students can do it right here, relatively inexpensive compared to other colleges and universities and in their hometown, if
awesome.
You will.
I think that's awesome. So tell us a little bit, Dr. Ford, about the difference between ORE Georgetown Technical College and, say, Coastal or the traditional four-year degree university. Tell us a little bit about what makes it so different and special.
There is some blending between the mission of the university and Ori Georgetown Tech, but Ori Georgetown Tech, our primary focus is to provide the skilled workforce for our area. So every technical college in the state looks somewhat similar in that we may all offer the Associate in Arts and Associate in Science so students could transfer into senior institutions, but we differ because we are a reflection of the community and the business and industries that need us. So our mission in terms of the difference between Coastal is that most of our 70-plus programs of study are going to be in very specialized area that support business and industry, like in advanced manufacturing, legal studies, criminal justice, medical programs that we have, personal services, on it goes.
So how many students do you currently have enrolled at Ori Georgetown Tech?
We currently enroll about 10,000 students. 8,000 are in what we call the credit side of the house. This is where students can earn a certificate degree, diploma degree, or an associate two-year degree. We have around 2,000 students that attend in what we call the workforce development programs. A key one to mention there would be what we do with a certified driving license, a CDL, truck driving training. So we are packed up with students, lined up. I think we have 5 trucks that we have on the lot out there, and students go through that program and in and out in 8 weeks. So about 2,000 students in terms of short-term training. Another very popular program in the workforce development is a certified nursing assistant. So it's a broad range of short-term certifications to get the students in and out of training and into the workforce, and or they can also transfer on into our credit programs. So we're around 10,000 students.
That is. And how does that compare, just for curiosity reasons, to other community colleges? Community Technical University.
Yes. Well, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked me that. We are 4th largest in the state. The other 3 larger technical colleges, Greenville Tech and Midlands Tech in Columbia and Trident Tech in Charleston. So they are closer to 12,000 to 13,000 students. So
more to come.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I think for our listeners, it'd be really helpful to explain the admissions process into a technical college, because I think a lot of people that might, you know, be hearing about higher education may think that there's like crazy difficult hurdles or whatnot to go on and get accepted into a university or college. I wanted to see if you could maybe tell our listeners a little bit about what do you have to be able to pursue some of these degrees that you're speaking of?
For most of our, it's really quite simple to go through the application process and to be admitted to our college. Most of our programs require either a GED or high school diploma. We do have a handful of programs in workforce development that will accept if a student is, for example, 18 years old, or that they demonstrate the competence by evaluation by the faculty that they can accomplish the work. But for the most part, a student can easily go online or go to any of our campuses and talk with the admissions office, fill out some simple paperwork, which is the basic things that you would answer, name, residence, and then students go through a process of applying. Most of our students need financial aid, even though we have either the lowest or next to the lowest tuition in the state of South Carolina, students still need assistance with financial aid because you pay, we have the tuition, which can be paid for, but there are other expenses that students may have, like books and, you know, life expenses.
Exactly.
So the process of being admitted, applying and being admitted is really straightforward. We are an open door institution, which means that you can come to the college and then we're going to place you in the right courses to make you successful to get to your goal, whatever that degree may be or whatever certification
that
may
be. Wow, that's awesome. That is so powerful when I sit and listen to you talk about that.
A student can come to us in any way. They can come online to find out what we have available. They can walk into any door of any campus, and they can call us. You know, colleges and universities can be intimidating for people to think, oh, I can't go to college, or I haven't been in college, or I've been in school for a long time. We want to dispel that fear. We want people to feel welcome to come to any of our campuses. Very helpful. It's a family feel. Once those students come on, they know that they're going to be helped to get to their goal, help to give them financial security in order to earn their degree. And net, it takes maybe 6 months, 2 years, maybe 3 years to earn their degree. Like if you're going into nursing, you may spend a year to take some courses, prerequisite courses. But it's really dependent on how quickly the student can earn their degree. And so many of our programs are offered online. They don't need to come to the campus. That has removed a lot of barriers. And we've improved in that methodology, and it's helpful for a lot of students who have families and jobs that they can take some courses online and even some full programs.
Yeah, and I think you just touched on another component. You know, we always have to keep learning. I think everybody anywhere is always better off if they continue to challenge themselves and expose themselves to new things, new learning. And I love the fact that Ori Georgetown Tech is, number one, so powerful and so readily available to all of the folks that are in this area to be able to pursue their dreams, and flexible enough to work around their current situation. So I think that's awesome.
Well, it's a good point. We have students that I'll point out that may be in their 30s, 40s, 50s. They may say, hey, you know, I'd like to change careers, and this seems pretty exciting. We also have what you would call the reverse transfer. They have a baccalaureate degree, but now they want to come and they want to have their hands on in another skilled area, and they will come to us as what we call reverse transfer.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. Yeah,
and
that's awesome.
Yeah, a lot of students come in and do that, and, you know, I think of some programs like our golf and sports turf management, or like in nursing, some of our healthcare programs where the students may have been in another field and they find the attraction to coming into a program where they will feel a unique ability to be in the community, to improve their quality of life, and perhaps be in an area where they're mingling with other people in the profession
they want to be in. You know, how many of us, I mean, I can think of a lot of friends that I've had over the years that, you know, you go to school and you think that's what you're going to do, and you get into it and find out not so much, right? Maybe there's something else that interests you more. And I would encourage anybody to go after, you know, life's too short not to go after what really kind of gets you up in the morning and energizes you and that you feel fulfilled at. So I wanted to segue for just a minute and talk about something that you'd said earlier about how it's really important to you as the president of a college to actually be a reflection of the community. And I know that you have worked really closely with the Myrtle Beach Economic Development Group and other entities, obviously, around the area to create programming and educational opportunities that will match the needs of either companies that are currently here or potentially companies that are coming to this area. And that's a unique partnership right there, I think, that we need to talk more about, because having that commitment to reflect what the community needs, I think, is quite powerful. And I'd love to have you share a little bit more with us about maybe some examples of things that you're working on right now that fit that bill.
It's the college's passion. We have well over 300 full-time employees and 600 if you count in our part-time employees. Our passion is to serve this community by connecting with business and industry and to design programs that meet their needs. I think that there's been far better understanding and communication between education and industry than ever before. Languages can get in between. If you are talking just in higher ed language and using words that business and industry doesn't understand and vice versa, you're not going to benefit one another. So we strive to listen to what's needed. And it has been beneficial to serve on both Georgetown Alliance and also the Myrtle Beach Regional Economic Development Corporation, because we are mixing in with business and industry leaders, community leaders that can tell us what they need. Example, we understood about 4 or 5 years ago that there was a real need to do some training in the marine technology area. And what I mean by that is outboard marine technology, working with outboard marine, mm-hmm, with motors. And the other is in boat building. So we have implemented both of those programs over the last few years. We just started the boat building program. The forestry and wildlife program was built here, implemented many, many years ago, and it's a mainstay. So our ears are open, and if I could have any communication with the community, it would be, tell us what you need. And we are nimble. We quickly put programs together, recently put one together to help to train in the insurance industry, to help people to become, to pass the boards or to get their license. So working with business and industry it's the heartbeat of our college, because we feel that in that way, what we're doing is we're supporting the economy. We are helping the economy to grow. We're there with both of the counties to say, hey, tell us what your training needs are. Tell us what it is you need to bring a certain business or industry into the area. And let us listen to that, and then let us put the training program together for you so that you've got the skilled workforce to build up.
Oh, that's awesome. So I imagine that willingness to get that workforce in place paves the way in many ways for whether it's the Georgetown or Myrtle Beach Economic Development Group to secure commitments from other companies, right? If someone is expressing an interest in this area, right, and one of the barriers might be, well, where would I get my trained workforce, to know they can turn to you and know that it's going to be listened and acted upon to be able to get that workforce has got to make that a little bit easier, meaning make it easier for them to get a commitment from a corporation to come into this area, which ties in beautifully to kind of what we're here to really talk about today, which is, pardon me, all of the work that goes on behind the scenes in order for a community to be prosperous. And this is a great example of the marine work that you're doing, because perhaps, and I don't know the history behind it, but perhaps there's companies that are interested in kind of making a commitment, putting a stake in the ground in this area.
Yeah. When a prospect comes to town, if you will, we've been asked to show the prospects our campuses and what programs that we have. They see that as the givens because they want to know, will we be able to train or what are the educational opportunities even for their employees should they move into
the
industry,
yep.
move into our communities. So they want to know about what are the educational opportunities. It also gives us an understanding of if we don't offer the program or the training, can we design it for them? And I've not known of any area that we've not been able to do that. That's what exactly happened with the outboard marine. There was no training in the state of South Carolina, and one of the local dealers, Marshall Marines, came to us and talked with us and asked us about building a program because he was concerned about the fact that there was no training, but it was a part of his legacy. It was his company and something that he loved, and he wanted others to learn the business, get into the industry. So it was not only having the skilled workforce, it was in his blood of what he wanted. So we said, we're going to do it. And we built that program in a matter of 4 or 5 months, found a space to put the program in, secured the faculty, bought the equipment, and started training. And all the students that have gone through that program over the past 4 or 5 years have been gainfully employed somewhere. So it's that's just an example of one of the things that we feel good about, how we're able to meet the community needs. So as I said, we are different than other technical colleges in that we reflect whatever our community wants and needs.
Wow. And that begins, like so many things, with listening. So we are and should be grateful of all the work that Horry Georgetown Tech is doing to support us. And with that, I know that you have also identified some things that are kind of a little more future-focused, things that may not be in place today, but they're initiatives that you're working on, and I'd love for you to talk a little bit about those for us.
Yeah, I'm real excited about some plans that we have going forward. We started a cybersecurity program probably about 4 or 5 years ago, and it's been quite successful. We are now taking that cybersecurity certificate program, and it is totally online. So you can come to the campus, or we can deliver the program to you. Beyond that, and that's expanding because we're going into the school districts with that, Horry County school system, the students are taking that online. We are looking at developing a program in environmental sciences. We have employed somebody that has a very strong background with Horry County in wastewater treatment, and there's a growing need for that. So we're going to be developing a 2-year associate degree in environmental science with an emphasis in the wastewater management. One thing I do want to emphasize that we're working, not that it's new, but it's expanding, is to expand all of our healthcare programs. With the growth in this area, the population growth, the retirees, everybody, all of us need healthcare. So we're expanding our nursing program and all of the other healthcare programs. We are admitting about 350 to 400 associate degree nursing students to go on track to be RNs, and we hope to get to 600 students to admit by the year 2030. Other programs that we're looking at, I've got to do some research, but I'm very interested in our exploring to do something in the realm of aviation. Our door's been knocked on about that field a number of times, and we've got to answer it. I just need to know what are the specialties, what are the areas. We've entertained some conversations about flight training. Some time ago during COVID, we entertained that notion, and it was not something we could do at that time, but we've got a third-party vendor, if you will, that has come to talk with us. So the team at the colleges has got to talk about how do we want to enter this field, because it's a limited training in that particular area. Changing channels back to the healthcare, cardiovascular training has been mentioned to us a number of times. Quite expensive program. We're looking into that. Vet tech. I often got teased by the prior president, Murph, you're going to be, as soon as you get in there, you're going to start a vet tech program. And we do have an offering in that on the workforce development side, but we're trying to find out if there are enough jobs for us to start a full associate degree in vet tech. And like I said, we're expanding in our healthcare programs. We're looking to increase the number of students that we're going to take into dental hygiene. We're going through a process. So there's a lot of accreditation and standards you have to look to go into the healthcare programs that we have to go through some approval processes in order to increase. A little bit slower on that, but that's our goal. That's our goal, is to help to alleviate the shortages of people that are working that need those that are in the healthcare arena.
There's a couple things embedded in what you had just said that crossed my mind is, again, another example of listening and responding, right? Talking to healthcare professionals, understanding where their gaps are in terms of where they need additional workforce, and then getting busy developing it. But then I also heard this connection to the marketplace where, before you make a decision as to whether or not, let's use the vet tech example, whether there's enough opportunity for the folks you would graduate, you're looking into the market to be able to make a good assessment in order to justify the time, energy, effort, and expense in putting a program together. So I think those are two really good examples running both ways in terms of what is needed and what do the facts tell us about placement for these graduates, right?
Correct. And depending on how we want to package the program. So if we want to go to an associate degree, it requires approvals by our local tech board, our commissioners, and approval on the state level. And you have to verify that you have jobs.
Okay,
for
I did
the
not
students.
Know that.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, we do an employment needs assessment. So we go, for example, for vet tech, we would go to anyone that would be hiring vet techs and say, how many openings do you have now? How many will you have over the next 3 years? Do you have a need? And that helps us to verify whether or not we should commence a program. It's dependent on the demand out there because it takes hundreds of thousands of dollars generally to start a program. Some are very, very expensive programs, and the ones that I've talked with you about are expensive, just like we had a request to start automotive. We had it years ago, closed it down, and had a request to go back into automotive. Before we did that, we went to all the dealers and asked them, do you need mechanics? How many mechanics? And what do you see as your demand over time? And based upon that, we had a strong showing that there are so many jobs out there. And so we started the automotive program back up about 2 to 3 years ago, And the demand is so great that we are adding another building so that we can expand that. So we've got to have verification because we don't want to start a program and then it fail. So that's where we go through what we call an employment needs. Are there jobs out there? The companies, businesses have to tell us that. And based on that, that's when we make a decision about starting.
So when you evaluate a program, Dr. Four, I'm sure the graduation rate is a piece of that puzzle, but it sounds like you're also evaluating the successful placement of these individuals in the workforce. So you look at both, is that correct?
Absolutely. We are proud to say that our placement rate hovers between 90 and 95% for our graduates. Let me clarify that that means that the graduates of a program either go directly into the job that they're trained for or they continue their education. So even students who will transfer, let's say, to Coastal Carolina University or to Francis Marion, Clemson, USC, they are counted into the placement. A major program that I'll mention to you, and some people out of the area think that we're entirely into tourism training. And while that is critical for us, we train so many welders. I would imagine about 200 a year. And those students come with us, and in a matter of a year, they're trained and they're out there in the workforce. And many of them are starting with us when they are seniors in high schools. So the placement rate is very good with us. It is an indicator of performance that we're looked at by the state level. How well are you doing in placing your students? Because if you're not placing students in the job market, we don't need to be having that program.
It makes perfect sense. And it's good to know that that's part of the evaluation that takes place, not only because you have to do it, but because that's really where the rubber meets the road, right? I mean, that's what fuels our economy here in this area, to have highly talented, highly qualified, certified workforce that can meet the needs of the employers that we have. And the other thing that I wanted to just touch on briefly as we kind of wrap things up here is I wanted to kind of see if you might be able to talk to me a little bit about some of the innovation work that you have done, meaning one of the examples that you had shared with me is understanding this kind of dire need in healthcare. You and your team have developed an alternative approach, right, to getting these students educated. And I would love to have you share that a little bit, because that's how things get done, right, when there's barriers. Being innovative and finding another way around can make it work.
I think more and more what the lesson I've learned so well is building relationships with people. And in talking with our healthcare providers, one idea that we came up with was, let's take the students to their premises, to their facility, rather than everything having to be on our campus. So what we are doing, for example, in support of Conway Medical Center, is that we have a cohort, which means we have about 24, 30 students that are going into nursing, and they are on the Conway campus, and they will be doing much of their clinical work at Conway Medical Center. Same thing is going on with Tidelands, is that we have some property that belongs to Tidelands. We have students that want to work closely with Tidelands, and so we have moved a cohort of students into that area. So, and then, of course, we go into so many of the high schools. Our faculty will teach in the high schools some college courses. So we try to look at innovative ways to get into the community and provide the training on their landscape so that it makes it easier, and also that the business and industry feel like they've got a partner that's willing to come to them and place the students closer to them, have a relationship with them, and potentially be employed by them.
I think that's a perfect example of innovation, productive innovation. And you had also mentioned to me that you're working on some things in the AI space, and that this cybersecurity piece will, the vision is to evolve to a center of excellence. Yes. And I'm excited to hear more about that.
Yes.
Well, on the cybersecurity, when I say a center of excellence, we have a what's called a cyber range on our Conway campus. It looks like you're in the NASA room where the students are sitting in front of their computers, but they're looking at a huge screen that shows the United States, and it shows hacking that's coming into the United States, and the students are learning how to analyze that and what they would do if they were working
really?
In business and preventing that.
Yes.
And we are seeking even more funds to enhance that, and we're working with Anderson University, Tri-County, and I think another college, and what we want to do is to be sure that we can expand the cybersecurity across the state and even outside of the state as best we can. So when we say a center of excellence, is that we're hiring faculty that are specialized in this training and then trying to take the training out into all regions that we can. In terms of the AI, interesting, because that's a program that we're going to develop. We want to offer it first as a short-term certificate program. We feel, I don't know about the jobs, but I know that everybody,
yes,
we need to embrace it.
Yes,
we need to incorporate it in the programs that we have, because all of us are going to need to know how to use it to our advantages. And so we are going to be looking at building a program in artificial intelligence, and that ties in with the cyber to somewhat, because it's all in the high tech area. So that's where we're headed. But also, it's a learning curve for all of us in education, and a very hot topic about use of AI in teaching. And so we were trying to bring in experts for professional development to show how it can be used by students and, you know, what you should and shouldn't do with it.
Yeah, I know it's a hot topic.
So
sure.
It's not, yeah, so it's not used in ways that appear that the student is leaning completely on artificial intelligence to give them the answers to questions. So we're learning how to embrace it. At the same time of embracing it, we also want to say, okay, let's go ahead and do our own program in AI.
So as we kind of think about all the things that your college is doing for the community, we think about how you're helping us address future needs for potential individuals or companies that would be coming to the area, i.e. marine, boat building, those kind of things. I think that's a really powerful statement for the caliber of technical college that we have in your educational institution. I thank you for your leadership in that space, and I hope that folks that are listening can really kind of get their mind around how fortunate we are in the capability that exists within your organization. And the last question I have for you is to really kind of chat a little bit about, you have mentioned earlier that you've been in this area for a good long while, so you've had an opportunity to kind of watch things unfold as it relates to the revitalization of our area and so forth. I'm interested in your perspective on how do you feel about the future of the Myrtle Beach, Horry County, and Grand Strand areas, and Georgetown for that matter, too.
I'm excited about our entire area. When I travel outside of the area and I come back home, I see just the wealth of what I would say our natural resources, the beauty of it, and I see people working to improve everything that we have, from the infrastructure that we have to broadening opportunities for people in the cultural world, for organizations to be working together to help those that need help. So I'm very, very optimistic about what, and I've seen a great deal of change throughout the years. But I can only say that I'm excited to see what's happening. I'm excited to see the partnerships and the people that bond together in this area, all with good hearts and souls to help us to grow and be welcoming communities for all people that want to come here and to assist. But it's a good place. It's a positive environment that we're living in. And I appreciate, too, being with the Horry Georgetown Technical College. I think it's a powerful cornerstone of our community, bedrock for business and industry, but also just education, because education is power. And it makes us all better with one another, better citizens.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for sharing all this great information about Horry Georgetown Tech. I've learned a great deal, and hopefully our listeners have as well. And I hope that you'll come back and chat with us again in the future, share more of the new programs that you've developed and the additional partnerships you've forged. So that invitation is wide open, and I can't thank you enough for your time today.
Thank you. It's been an honor to be with you.
Well, that wraps up our show for this week. I hope you've enjoyed the info that we've shared today. And if so, please be sure to follow the show so you don't miss any of our future updates. We also welcome any comments, shares, or reviews. But until next time, we hope you stay well and keep thriving.